Yeah. You know she's 40 years old.
Don't
40.
lie.
Yeah. I saw her Instagram in there, and then there was like her celebrating her 40th birthday. I was like, nah.
What?
Nah. That's pain. That's Spain without the S, fam.
What the hell? She's 40.
Yeah, have you not seen the video where she's like, I'm trying to get removed, and she sat there crying?
What was she thinking though? Like, who told her this was a good idea?
Knows of it. So obviously there's the other one called like Gorilla Snot or something, innit?
Oh, she got confused.
I mean, I would hope she did, but I don't think
I
she
feel
did.
Like if you put something like that on your head, you might even, will you ever grow hair again?
I don't know. I saw people like Doctor saying like if you put certain things on it, it'll burn her scalp and then that's it, she's finished.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're not growing hair again after you put something like that on your head. Like, no way. There's no way.
This is why
that's crazy.
That's why people say common sense is not common, because if you look at the can, yeah, it looks like something that you don't put on your head.
The fact she's bought it, yeah, she's either had to go to like the hardware section in the store and pick it up.
Hello.
Or it's in her house that she's bought it beforehand and knows what it's for.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
She's dumb as hell. I don't really feel for her either, to be honest. Like, I can't really say I feel for you when you're doing stuff like that.
I felt for her at the beginning, and then I found out she was 40. I thought, nah, that's a bit different.
Nah, but surely, I swear, the reason in the first place she even made the video is because she knew what she was doing, if you get what I mean.
Well, that's what, like, I was thinking.
She did, the whole thing, this came from her doing a TikTok, right? Or something like that. And she was like, oh, look at this. I'm going to spray this on my head, and now it's going to be laid down or whatever for, like, the foreseeable. So she must have known what she was putting in her hair was, to an extent, like, they, like, a bit mad.
Yeah.
That's my only thing. I don't know why people are like donating to her and shit. Yeah, she's got like some I don't know, like I feel like I've seen some donation thing.
I don't know if you'll get donations in it, but I mean, like, it took you a whole month to go to the doctors to ask them about it. Like, on day four, I'd be like, right, this needs to come out of my head, isn't it? But
you know, man, if my head, yeah, exactly. She's
I wouldn't even be on TikTok telling people that I did that stupidness in it. So.
Fam, how is hardware glue killing my people, fam? I don't get it.
This is where the lockdown has taken us, the pandemic.
But I don't think she's even learned from it, you know. I feel like she'll do something stupid again. Like, if you reach 40 and that's the first thing you've done stupid, I highly doubt it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, definitely not. She's been doing this madness for, yeah.
That's the thing. If you're 40 and on TikTok as well, most of us are flying out to holidays with our kids and that. And she's putting gorilla glue in her head. Okay.
But you know, for like the first few days, no one could tell her shit. She thought her hair was finished. She was like, this
looks
This is the best thing happened. It definitely got to like day four where she went to wash out. I was like, nah. It's like,
I'm just thinking about the pain from that. That is
have you ever seen her crying? Like, she's rubbing it on her, like, I don't even know what it is. I think they said acetone. Like, I don't even really know what that is, isn't it? But she was rubbing it on
some kind of it's literally a glue, and you use the glue to put metals together and shit. Like,
but she like, so the doctor, apparently, you know, she went to hospital like yesterday, whenever she went.
Yeah.
They gave her like some wipes, just basically said at home, it's like, oh, deal with it yourself, innit? Which is what I would do, to be fair.
Exactly. What do you tell a 40-year-old that has done that to themselves?
I feel like a lot of people come into with a lot of stupid things into A&E, yeah. But that's going to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you've willingly done that to yourself.
Because people were like, oh, why haven't Gorilla Glue come forward and said stuff? And I'll be like, yeah, I understand why they wouldn't. America's Sue culture, yeah. Like, I'm not going to sue. My head just dropped off my head. Like, I'm not getting sued because of that.
Yeah, no, why? What has that got to do with them? What has that got to do with them at all?
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not what the product's used for. So, because they were like, oh, they must know how to like melt it down. And I was thinking, obviously, on like metals,
you can't use someone's fucking head top.
You don't want to tip like bleach on your head and be like, oh yeah, that's calm now, it's melted. Like,
nah,
that's so stupid, man.
That's real. You can't have an antidote for stupidity, fam.
Sometimes you just gotta hold it out, isn't it?
Yeah. Like.
Nah, it's crazy, man. But yeah, the On Record podcast, another episode this week, we are joined by Johnny, better known as Nancy, if you can see that. But yeah, today we're going to be talking about, in light of recent kind of comments and news from the football world, I guess, and the sport world, with a lot of players receiving racial abuse. I don't know why this has suddenly started increasing again, but over social media. Just a whole lot of other random shit that we normally just talk on. But I think, I don't know, did it start with Rashford, this whole, like, commenting. Yeah. Or was it Reece James or was it Twan Zabi?
I think it was Rashford still.
Yeah, he's the only one I actually heard that. Not racially abused.
No, I think it started with is it Twan Zabi? I think it started with him.
Oh, what, the actual abuse?
Like, not in terms of like the first person, because it's been going on for time, but in terms of like this recent increase, I think it started with Twan Zabi.
Oh yeah, that's true actually. I think so, yeah. Twan Zabi and Martial?
It was after that game. What was the United game that they...
Yeah, when you flopped, yeah.
What game was that?
It was literally about, 6 weeks ago. Obviously, he had a bad game. It was his first game for a few matches.
It was Sheffield, bro. It wasn't even that long ago. It was Sheffield, I swear.
Yeah, Sheffield United.
It was Sheffield.
Yeah.
You lost 2-1 and then the comment sections were going crazy.
Mm.
And then I think Reece James a couple of days later as well got that as well. And then, but yeah, in terms of that, I think my first question to you lot is, obviously me and Joy, we were talking about this the other day, but some woman was like, oh, should black athletes just leave social media to stop this happening? Like, she's basically saying this, like, what would you guys say in terms of, I guess my first question for you is, how do we solve racial abuse or in general, I guess trolling or abuse online? How do you solve that in your opinion?
Personally, I don't think you can solve it, innit? Like, you've got to change people's mindsets, which you can never really do over social media. So, I don't think you can ever solve that. You've actually got to know the person to change them in person, if that makes sense. I feel like I can say whatever I want on social media because I know it's never going to really affect me if I make a burner account, do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't think you really can solve that. I don't think the solution is coming off social media, though, because that's...
What do you think?
No, carry on.
I was going to say quickly, just to add to that quickly in terms of what do you think solves it. A lot of people say that you need to prove, I have some proof of ID as well. To like be allowed, you know what I mean? So you have to like match some ID to your account so we know who it's coming from, or at least the person that has who runs Twitter in it or Facebook or Instagram, they know who's behind these accounts, even if it's not like your name or your whatever.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere knows who it is, if you get me.
Yeah. But then I feel like, I don't know, because aren't you allowed social media at like 13? I don't really. It's like Facebook and that lot, it's all like 13 minimum age, and it like, what are they going to attach to their accounts? They're not going to have like a bank card. They're not really going to have ID. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but maybe they shouldn't be allowed, isn't it? Maybe they shouldn't be allowed.
I don't know, because I can't really lie. I've been on social media for a while, and it like, I'm not gonna lie, I had Bebo in primary school, so I'm not going to lie. But I don't know. I don't think that's the solution, because I don't think that really works. Anyone could just take anyone's ID. Do you know what I mean? Like, in real life, I could take your ID and just say I'm Henry. Do you know what I mean? So. I don't know. I don't think you really can solve it, innit? Like, it's literally changing people's mindsets. And if you can't do that, then it's never going to stop the trolling, innit? Like, I feel like more people are racist online because they, like, it's that confidence of being behind the screen, innit? Like, you can say what you want. You're never going to really meet that person in real life. You know what I mean? Like, you can be racist to Marcus Rashford because you know you're not going to meet him in real life. But if you knew you were going to meet him in real life, it would be a bit of a distant situation. So,
yeah, I don't know. That's true. What are you saying, John?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Luke, because obviously, in general, if you really want to solve the root cause of the problem, you have to look at people's mindsets. So if people think it's okay to discriminate against people, cast people out on social media, like put their beef on social media, obviously they're thinking, oh, he's a football player, he's going to be able to take it because he plays week in, week out, he earns 100k a week and stuff like that. So therein lies the problem, because especially in these times, in terms of free thinking and free opinion, you're not really going to be able to limit the way people act on social media. So if we kind of narrow it down to how do you combat racism on social media, it should be the same with, like, you know, explicit content on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that regularly gets flagged up. If you think of Twitter last year, people were putting the wildest videos on and no one would say anything, never get flagged. I think that should be the same for racism. So there should be certain trigger words or certain posts, certain content where Instagram or all social media just think, okay, we're going to make sure that if that comes up in our feed, just lock off the account.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's true.
Yeah, to be fair, that probably would work. The only downside I could see, I feel like that's a pretty good idea, to be fair. Like, you can't say the nigger, but then say, for instance, I put like nigger under my thing, if that's going to work, you need someone to review it, if that makes sense. Like, oh, cool.
Exactly.
Like, he's not even
to be honest, with the M-word and stuff like that, I know obviously we probably say it to each other, but really, it doesn't... I'd rather that just gets flagged on socials in general, so people just stop it, stops getting out there, rather than... And us not being able to say it, do you get what I mean?
I'd rather
that just no one says it on socials, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Because then that would stop... Because really and truly, we don't need that word. Do you get what I mean? And more time is going to be used for a negative.
More time people just use it to, like, if I was talking to you, I'd say it. I wouldn't, like, tweet it or put it under a caption.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
To be fair, I think if that, like, I agree with Johnny, then, you probably just have, like, trigger words that just, like, flag up. Because I think, to be fair, even on, like, when we post videos on YouTube, it says, do you want us to hold comments for you to, like, review it? And then they have, like, ones where it just automatically holds comments that they think, like, might be, like, racially, like, biased.
Yeah.
Just, like, and the problems. I think they do that automatically. So, to be fair, I think I agree with you. Like, it probably shouldn't even be going through to the DMs. They should just be like, right, cool, you've used that word. Just block it straight off.
To be honest, Twitter do kind of do that as well as Instagram, obviously, but more Instagram with videos, isn't it? But on Twitter, sometimes you'll see if you go in comments, it will say this has... they don't really do anything to actually stop it, but they say like...
Sensitive content warnings.
But you can literally press show more on it, so
and it just does it anyway. So what with that, that's obviously like on the surface, I'm asking you, look, how do we stop people on social media? But what's that in terms of like the actual problem? What are you lot saying about that in terms of like actually just a continuation, even after we've seen all these protests this year? The continuation, especially obviously in football, all the kneeling and stuff out every week we're seeing, Black Lives Matter on the you know, where normally you have fans, isn't it? Now it's
like on the seats and stuff.
Obviously that's what you said in terms of like the deeper root causes, and what do you think in this country, I guess, what do you think people can do to improve that?
Listen, I'm going to be controversial in it. Obviously it's nice to see clubs and obviously the FA and other football associations making players take the knee. But I feel like taking a knee is quite controversial, and it's quite commercial as well. Because obviously, you remember what happened to, what's his name? That NFL football player, Kaepernick? Obviously, the reason why he took the knee, yes, there was an element of standing up for the colour of his skin. But also, he's standing up against his beliefs against, obviously, the US as a nation. So obviously, that makes taking the knee quite political, which is why we've seen over the recent months, especially when the Prem started. I'm not going to name certain demographics because that's not what I'm here for. But obviously, some people are going, why are you taking a knee? Marxism, rare tear, tear. And obviously, I think at the end of the day, we have to play it smart, because obviously not everyone is always going to like the moves that we make. But if we kind of figure out a strategy to say, this is how we're going to teach and educate people, instead of just taking the knee every week, because everyone forgets the message. You know what I mean? If you have Sky Sports or BT Sport, maybe at the start of every show or midway through every show, they can just give us some statistics of racism. You know what I mean? Just to remind people that it's still very much alive, because the way information is outlaid to us nowadays, especially in our generation, there's so much of it that most of us don't really care about it. We just look at it, remember it for 5 minutes, and then we go on about our day. So it needs to be planned and impactful in a way where if we're relaying it regularly, then people will at least be aware. And that's the starting point.
I'm not letting be difficult. I think I'm going to disagree with you on that, just only because, like, I don't know if you watch Formula One or anything. At the beginning of like every Formula One, they put, like,
they got the t-shirts, of course,
and all that. But even like they had an advert before that on like the Sky Sports. I don't know if you used it on Sky Sports, but it was like, I don't even know what it was just like a random advert with all of them saying, like, oh, we're here to stamp out racism. But then some of them didn't want to take the knee because they were like, oh, it's political, which is fair enough. Like, I didn't really care who took the knee and who didn't really take the knee. I feel like it's just entirely up to you. But also, you'll see people on, like, if you're on Twitter, you'll see people tweeting, like, oh, they're still doing this. I don't think it would really make a difference, because I feel like the people that are still racist are the ones that don't want to change, if that makes sense. I feel like the ones that do want to learn about it don't need to be reminded every single, like, before every single match. The ones that they're trying to like target the ones that just don't care anyways. Like, they're the ones that will go out on the weekend and be racist because they just don't care. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think, like, I hate to say it, but I don't think they're ever going to be able to stamp out racism, just because there's always going to be certain demographic that will just not want to listen to it.
I agree.
Like, to any message, and that's not all races, to be fair. So if you don't want to change the way you're already thinking, you're just not going to do it. It doesn't matter like what people tell you. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone knows racism shouldn't exist, but there's obviously those people that just seem to think that it's the right way. So
I don't think
they're going to really do anything to stamp it out, because I feel like if you're looking at certain, like, was it Millwall that was like booing them for?
Yeah. Of course it was Millwall.
But look at the ages of the people. Do you think we're going to really change like a 40-year-old man's mindset when he's?
Yeah, no, it's true.
It's like that guy that the other week that we were everyone was canceling because he was I can't remember what he said. He didn't want to listen to like the black or Asian politicians.
Was it Pri Patel? Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And then there was like, I think there was a black guy next to him, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's the black guy either.
He
was like a Sunday league manager. He wasn't really like anything in it. Like, he still has to work a full time job in it. But but like, if you've got people like him at the head of it, then obviously like he'll have that certain bias where, like, say for instance, there's a black kid that's like really good, or an Asian kid that's really good at football, they're tying up for his team. He just probably wouldn't put them on the pitch. He just would like block them. So I think if anything, you're gonna, I don't think you'll stamp it out, but if you're gonna make any change, it would be probably starting with like influential people, the ones that can actually make decisions.
Okay.
So like,
I hear you.
Yeah, just starting.
I think I'd say, from my opinion, to be honest, in terms of like, how would you go about it on a deeper issue? I guess, as you said, you're never really gonna stamp it out. But I think, as Johnny said, I guess, keep relaying the message, but in different ways, possibly, because obviously with the kneeling thing, it's the message has now been lost, in that sense. But I think they need to be harsher, especially when fans come back into stadiums. Any of this racial abuse, they need to make sure these people are never allowed back in the stadium or people that do endorse this kind of behaviour aren't allowed to be a part of the footballing community. I guess that's a start in terms of, at least within football, everyone's on the same page, and anyone that's not, you can leave, because like, you're, do you know what I mean? But then in terms of society, I guess there's not really an answer for that, because you can talk about it, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Obviously, these people, normally, to be fair, like, the most racist fans are the ones that are, like, the diehard fans of that club. So, it probably would hurt them, like, if you... I think they need to put more of an onus on the club as well, like, start finding the clubs, like, cool. Like, continue to let this fan in? Like, I don't mean find them for, like, being racist, because obviously it's not their fault that their fans are racist, do you know what I mean? Like, but, like, if they've caught the person before at the, like, match making racism, like, comments, then why are they back in? Do you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be like a 5-match ban, 10-match ban. It should just be like straight off. You never come back into the stadium.
Yeah, 100%. Or you're banned from like every single like football ground in this country, kind of thing, isn't it? Like, if you're caught coming to this.
Yeah.
I think I think the football club should be fined if any racism happens in their stadium. I think that would incentivize them to clamp down harder, because the more they're getting fined, they're getting like fined like 20K a week or something, because one person or like two people in their crowd,
yeah,
I thought they'd be more vigilant, and then they'll start kind of thinking, oh, let's not let this, do you know what I mean? So I feel that could be a way, to be honest, of actually helping with it.
Can I ask you, man, a question? Because obviously you and Luke mentioned some quite good points. Like, do you think it's about changing the mindset? Because especially you, Luke, you said about, and you, Henry, as well, saying about, it's probably impossible to stamp out racism, period, in this life, if not for the rest of life. So should it then be about trying to make sure we put as much weight on anti-racism as possible, just to give, not necessarily the racists, but people that are on the fence and people who don't really educate themselves on racism, but tend not to have racist views, if you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if I could give my response, I would think, I definitely agree with you two. You can't stop people being racist. And to an extent, you can't really stop racism, because everyone has their own views on someone based on their colour of the skin, the colour of their eyes, their hairline, stuff like that. Unfortunately, that's just the way the world is. But it's just like, I think the point I was making earlier about trying to relay the message every week is just to get into people's heads. People who tend to follow the trend, if you give them these informations, then they will tend to be siding with people who are anti-racist and people who are getting racially abused, which is obviously going to help our cause, especially for our demographic. And I kind of feel like, in a way, it's hard because obviously you'd want to stamp out, period, but that's just not realistic, especially as society gets even more multicultural. Obviously, globalization improves and stuff like that. People aren't going to be bothered about certain demographics, culture.
I think, to be fair, I agree with you. I feel like everyone's guilty of that. There's certain things that like the other day I kind of looked up what was it, like the Palestine the Israel kind of situation, because like, to be fair, before that I'll see all the stuff and I was like, okay, I don't really understand it, I'm just not gonna post anything about it. And I just read into it, I was like, oh, cool, then I'll make a viewpoint. I think that's probably the same thing with racism. Like, I'm not even just saying like white people, but like white people, obviously, because they don't really feel racism on a day-to-day basis. Like, they might not be racist, but they just don't ever think about it because it's not affecting them. I think when something doesn't affect you, you have no reason to think about it. So I think, like you said, it probably is through the education that they're not racist. They're sort of neutral, dead in the middle. They're like, they might not agree with racism, but they don't do anything to sort of stop it. But they're also not racist at the same time. So I think those people are probably the ones that... they're the ones you have to change. Like, they're the ones that make the biggest influence. I think, although I say that you can't, like, you're never going to get rid of racism, which I think it's probably true to most extents. Like you said, it might happen like much further down the line, but definitely not in this lifetime. But I think the ones, I remember seeing a quote, I think it was like Charlamagne the God, that said like, out of 10 people you're trying to impress, you'll have like your diehard fans that like agree with you. So like, it's someone that's like 100%, oh, that's racism, like, I know that's racist. So you might have like four of those, and you have like three people sitting on the fence. They're the people that you have to try and convert, because the ones that already said like they don't care about racism, you're never going to change their mindset. There's no point trying to impress them. So if you can get the people that are in the middle that could go either way, if you get them onto your side, that's probably the best solution. How you go about that, I don't really know. I think the best solution I've ever seen to like solving racism, do you know this lady called Jane Elliott?
I
think her experience is probably the only ones that I've seen that like the most realistic, because that obviously puts those people that aren't necessarily racist in a position where they're experiencing racism, and they normally, to be fair, I feel like tip the balance, but actually, right, I see that I have a bias. So I feel like that's probably the best solution, I think, of stamping out, is not being racist to people, but like in other ways making them feel the disadvantage that other people feel. Obviously not to the extent that, like, say for instance a black person will feel it, you don't have to like ruin the whole life
about having
it.
That empathy,
if you give them that
yeah.
Like, teach them. But yeah, I don't think, yeah, I think the ones that are like racist, there's, you're not going to convert them. There's no point even wasting your time trying to convert them. But it's getting those people that are in the middle that just, like you said, don't really, they're not racist, but don't really have a viewpoint.
No, that's true. And I think as well, one of the problems that we have in tackling racism is that too much is focused on the opinion instead of how the opinion is allowed to be conditioned in society, for example. Like, more often than not, if you tackle the root cause in certain areas, like obviously us three, we don't need to say it. Like, we already know certain areas where we think, oh, if I go for a night out, for example, if I walk down the street, there's a chance of me being racially abused for no reason other than the fact that people have this opinion of me. But obviously, while we kind of tend to sway to the emotional side, because naturally it hurts us on a personal level. It kind of clouds our judgment in terms of thinking, hang on a second, this person has grown up in this area. This area has a history of A, B, C, D. They have this opinion. And so when we're looking at making sure that these certain opinions don't hold weight, it's important to know that when we're talking about people sitting on the fence, those are the people in those certain areas that we need to be swaying and educating as well, because they... Obviously, the way the world is moving, opinions are changing all the time, culture's changing all the time. So, as you said about Charlemagne, those 3 out of 10 people may say, hang on a second, my dad was like this, and my dad has this opinion on, you know, the Indian guy from the corner shop or the Caribbean guy in the Caribbean shop. But this doesn't really make sense, because based on what we know now in the 21st century, that opinion is not only outdated, but it's also untrue. So just to engage people's brains, and then from there, we can maybe think about pushing forward actions and actually having our stance hold weight. Yeah.
I think the funniest thing though about like the racist fans, you know, like Chelsea fans, like at least half the players on the pitch for them are black. It doesn't make sense. Like, do you not think, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any logical sense for these people. Like, you know when Raheem Sterling got racially abused?
Yeah.
Like, at Stamford Bridge, it's like, there was Kante on the pitch. There was all kinds of different players. That's their guy, in it. Kante, in it. And they're out here calling Raheem Sterling.
It's normally, like, your own fans that are the most racist, to be fair, because obviously... I don't know why, but like I can't remember who it was, but it was in like a European match in Italy. They started chucking bananas, but it wasn't like the opposition's fans. It was his own fans for like I can't remember who it was. But
was it Roberto Carlos?
I don't actually remember. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I just remember it was playing for an Italian team, and we've only got like 10 minutes on this, but yeah, I can't remember who it was, but yeah, it was his own. It's normally your own fans that are doing the most like racial abuse to you, but.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it's just mad, isn't it? Like, I also think that another problem with like how we deal with racism is normally that we only look at it from like a black perspective. If that makes sense. Like, everything's always like, oh, how black people are being treated, but you don't really look at like the alternatives where like, oh, the Asian side. So, obviously, it's like I'm not complaining about like we're looking at it that way, but I also think it also doesn't help the whole stamp out racism, because then the ones that are racist or sometimes sitting on the middle will be like, oh, it's always the black people complaining instead of being like. Actually, you know, it does affect other races, but they always look at it from black perspective, and they always seem to make like black people sort of be like the spokesperson. So even if it happened to an Asian person, they're going to be like, they'll find a black person to be like, oh, come out, stick up for us, sort of thing. So I think the way, even just like on the natural basis, we deal with racism, I think also needs to change. It's not, we can't expect people to change their mindsets when obviously you only look at it from a black perspective, and those people are like, well, it's always the blacks that are complaining, when instead, like, an Asian person come up and be like, actually, no, yeah, but I've experienced the same thing. Like, they need to have more, like, diversity when people are talking about their experience with racism, instead of just always looking at how black people are dealt. Like, obviously, in football, like, I would say, obviously, there's a lot more, I suppose, black players than are of, like, Asian descent. So, obviously, the racism is a bit more, like, prevalent in that our community, I suppose. But just in general... like how we deal with racism, I don't think really helps deal with racism.
That's definitely true, you know. Because if you actually think about it, especially the last couple of years with the pandemic, you never hear Sky Sports trying to interview Asian players on how they may have been abused because of obviously coronavirus coming from Wuhan. So you don't even have to be Chinese. You could just look Chinese or look stereotypical Asian way, and people are going to be, you know, trying to mimic Mandarin, saying that, don't touch me, you've probably got coronavirus, just stupid things like that. And that needs to be put out there more, because as you said, it's not just black people that experience racism, it's lots of demographics.
I think that's down to the media, though, because and I think people's expectations, because even to be fair, at the beginning of coronavirus, people were like, I saw it was at the very beginning, and there was like it was like an Asian person on Twitter, like, oh, where are the black people for us to stick up for us now? Like, we're getting assaulted. And then all the black people were jumping on them, like, but you're never there, like, sticking up for us. I think, again, even within the people that are facing racism, I kind of get it, like, if you're always sticking up for yourselves and then no one else sticks up for you, it's a bit hard to always want to stick up for other races. But I think, like, sometimes you should let that go and be like, actually, this will actually work for the greater good. If I can change this person's view, maybe on an Asian person, that make it a bit easier for them to change their view on black people. So, yeah, I think down to the media and people themselves. But as I said, I don't think ever going to stamp out racism.
No, that just on going back to, like, I think Johnny was saying something about certain places in the country you're trying to go, and obviously you don't know if you're going to get racially abused. Have any of you not been had any mad experience of that, like a night out anywhere, either at uni, obviously we all went to the same uni, or just anywhere in general? Have any of you not had anything like that happen?
I can't say I have, to be fair, so I'm going to say I'm out on that one, like. But I've told you, I'm quite anomaly. I've never been pulled over by the police or anything, so, like.
Yeah. What about you, John?
Yeah, Henry, I'm sure you know, innit? Definitely. Probably one you don't know, actually. When I was 13, obviously, I went to a school not too far away from you, innit? I have to do that. So, anyway, I was 13. Obviously, you man remember there was a 99p store. Yeah, near to us. Yeah, near to your school, actually. So, anyway, now I'm with about six of my friends. We've got one Asian person, me, and then four white people. So, obviously, we've gone into the shop. I won't say who, but obviously, one of my white friends. He started nicking lots of chewit, like next to the camera in it, and obviously we're all standing around laughing at him. So obviously he's taking the mic, steals the chewits, obviously pays for the sweets that he actually wants to buy. We will do our thing. Everyone has paid for their sweets apart from this particular person here. So anyway, we're all standing outside the shop, and then one of the managers comes to me and says, "Oh, you've been stealing," and I'm thinking, "What?" I was fuming automatically because one of the cashiers would have seen me pay for my thing. And I wasn't in the, I was near the camera, but if I had been stealing something, you wouldn't have really saw me. And there was no shop workers around at the time. So there was no literal evidence to show that I'd been stealing. So anyway, he starts having a go at me saying, "No, you stole this, you stole that." And I was like, "Obviously, no, I haven't." So I started getting angry at him. Obviously, he pulls me back into the shop. And obviously, my friends are trying to defend me, saying, "Oh, yeah, he hasn't stolen anything. Like, I don't know why you're saying that to him." Obviously, I knew the reason, but I didn't really want to say it because then that's when stuff kicks off. And I actually felt quite uncomfortable and embarrassed. So, anyway, we had this dispute for like another 2 minutes. And he says, "Right, I'm going to call a manager. We're going to look at the cameras and then we're going to see what's happening." So, anyway, now they've looked at the cameras. I don't know how, but the guy who was actually stealing it, they didn't catch him. And then the manager comes out, in it. The manager comes out and says, "On the
That's
cameras,
mad.
I haven't seen myself stealing." And then the cashier, after what, about 15 minutes of arguing, he decides to come out and say, "Oh, yeah, that guy wasn't stealing. I don't know why you're singling him out." And then he just says, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry about that. You can go now." And I'm thinking, is your brain fried? I'm a normal customer. I'm not known to the area as someone who steals. And you've seen me, huh?
What shop was this?
Say that again.
What shop was this?
99p
What
store.
shop was this?
On the
I'm
high
trying to
street.
think where that was.
So it was
The
where the it was opposite KFC.
one that's still open
No,
now. The
it
one that's
was
still
it's
open
opposite
now.
KFC.
No, I think they could be done with. Oh yeah. That, but the new one's like basically next to KFC too. But yeah, I know what you mean. That's mad. I've never really had it in a shop, to be honest. I don't think being accused from stealing. But like, in terms of like nightclubs and that, have you looked ever or like any kind of thing like that?
Oh.
Like nightclubs, bars, restaurants, anywhere like that.
Be fair, even if I have, I'll feel like I just don't realize on it. So it could have happened, but obviously with alcohol in your system, I'm probably not paying attention to certain things like that. So
Or not being allowed in somewhere, anything like
I
that.
wouldn't say that, but you just notice these things in it. You just notice, they're checking your ID more than twice, or they're a bit more rougher than you when they're doing the searches. Just stuff that's a bit unnecessary, and you're thinking, "Why are you doing this to me?" Yeah.
No, I know what you mean.
I feel like we've got so used to it. Like, even if that's happened to me, like that's happened to me, but obviously, like I just don't see it. I'm just like, cool. I already know why you're doing it. Like, I feel like when I go to certain places, I just expect them to do too much to me in it. So, like, obviously, the sad fact is, I'm just be like, probably happened, but I just let it go in it. Like, I don't think about it later on in it. So, I haven't got like one awful memory in it, but obviously you do, Henry, because you're obviously you do because you keep saying it. So.
Have what? Wait, what?
Obviously, you have a problem in it because you keep saying it, in it. So,
A problem
what
with what? With
was
like, with nightclubs and that.
your experience? Yeah, you've got
But
like
I
a minute
told you
left on
about
your
it.
Zoom,
Obviously,
so.
I've been not allowed in clubs, like various ones in it multiple times. I'm used to it. They just say, now you're not coming in, or now you're not the right age. I saw them let my boy in 2 minutes before. He was the
Minute
same
left
age as me.
already, yeah. When they said there's too many black people in the club, they can't be letting everyone in.
I know what they're on. Like, I know I've
If
experienced
we
this shit before.
if we're
It
talking
is what
about
it is.
nightclubs, especially, obviously we all know what happened to Cameo in Bournemouth when you guys were in first year and I was in second year, about that bouncer racially abusing that person. Yeah,
What happened?
did you not
What?
hear? Okay, so
I even remember this,
basically
I can't
it
lie.
was in my second year. It was either in my second year, either 2016 or 2017. This bouncer got dubbed for racially abusing someone outside the club. I can't remember the details of it, but it was obviously a big thing. A lot of people were posting about it. The facts were telling. It was clear that there was racial abuse. There was intent to make the person, to belittle the person, et cetera, because of the color of their skin. And there was a big thing about it. I think this is the problem when thing goes out in the media, because for maybe the Afro-Caribbean community in Bournemouth, we all still remember that day because we're just thinking, ah, this is mad. Same stuff every day. But everyone, no one else will remember it unless they search it up on Google.
I'm trying to think, like, if I remember any of that, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think I just heard about it, but obviously that was just a mess of first year, innit? Like, I feel like...
The first year, too much madness goes on anyway.
If that happened in the second year, I'd probably be like, oh, quite remember that, innit? But, like, first year, obviously, I wasn't exactly the most sober person going out. So, yeah, the Zoom was cancelled, innit? But we can carry on talking over Anchor.
Now, Bournemouth, like, in terms of nights out, the bounces there are just mad anyway, to be honest. Like, the amount of times Cammy was, like, being locked off or something because everyone's just fighting or something.
Yeah. I remember that happened in Lost, to be fair. That was, like, my first experience in Lost. I remember, the police shut it all down, innit? And it wasn't even people fighting inside the club, innit? It was, I don't know who it was. It was people fighting outside, innit? I don't think they were even from the club. I don't know where they were from, to be fair. And, yeah, they completely locked off the whole of Lost. And everyone was just like, this is a joke. Because obviously, at this point, like, this went lost when it was just basically all black people in there. And people were like, no, I can't have, like, one good night out without, like, people outside of the club fighting. You're now shutting down the whole club inside. That's the only one I really remember in
Bournemouth. I remember that one. I remember that. It was bare, like, police fans outside and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That one. Guys, I've got the story, actually. Yeah, so basically a black guy paid $7.50 for a table. You know the bougie tables downstairs in basement? And he got turned away because he just had a group of black friends with him. Yeah. Swear. And they were told they aren't allowed in large groups. And obviously they said, you've let a group of white people into the club. And then obviously Cameo denied it.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But it's because they were in a 15-strong group. They travelled from London, paid up front, so £750 up front, to then go to Cameo nightclub in Bournemouth. Obviously, they liaised with Cameo, rebooked, and then they've been told at the door, you can't come in.
That's mad, you know. But why are you, in Cameo, why are you spending that kind of money in Bournemouth? Isn't it?
Yeah, that's insane. I didn't even want to pay like the £5 entrance.
I better have like 12 bottles for that amount.
That's crazy. That club is so dead.
No, but that's just going back to like they always have like a certain amount of black people they can let in the club in it at night. Once they hit that quota, they don't care who you are in it. You're not coming in.
They need to fill out a basement basically, and then after that, they don't want any more.
Literally, that's what I'm saying. There's only 15 men in basement that are paying.
If they have too many black people in vinyl, then no one's going to carry on going to vinyl.
Hey, we know about vinyl, fam. That was lit.
That's a vinyl.
Nah, I don't think I ever spent more than like 5 minutes in vinyl. Like, I was like, this is dead.
Hey, Johnny was definitely in vinyl.
You don't know about me, fam. I think vinyl was, when basement is shut down. Obviously, sometimes they shut it down early, innit? And obviously, you've done your candy dance, you go up, they're playing drum and bass in the main section. Obviously, you're not trying to make your ears bleed. Just go into vinyl, have a couple of drinks.
Yeah. These times when I just left the club, innit? Like, when basement slows down, I weren't going upstairs.
Last chance.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
In vinyl.
Nah,
your last chance, fam.
If I'm being real, extra time was chicken station still. Yeah, bro. You know this was it for him. Nah. Don't know how you're getting home. You needed a way back.
Nah, for me, it was vinyl. If it didn't work in vinyl, I'm gone.
The only people in chicken station at these times that you were talking about, after vinyl closes, is people that were in vinyl. Everyone else is a
different generation then.
Yeah, so it's the same. It's the same demo. Like, it's the same people, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Chicken station was. I've had a few good times in there still. Had a few redemptions in there.
Where's the other place? I'm trying to think. There's another place, you know, that pizza spot right next to the camera.
Fresco's or whatever it's called. Like Fresco's or whatever.
Had a few there as well. Extra time, last chance, penalties.
To be fair, anywhere on that strip where people were walking home and there was food, it was extra time.
I think, I'm not going to lie. I think the best places for extra time is, this is more of a first year thing, Lollipop, Subway.
Subway, Lollipop. Yeah, definitely.
What was that accommodation near to Subway? Lamb Regis and that nice building as well next to Subway.
It's like the international student one. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called though.
I barely went in there, to be honest.
I went in there once, you couldn't even get past security in it there. And we're like, my friend lived in there and I had to go up and get, I can't remember what they went to get. And security was like, oh yeah, they can go, but like they haven't had you authorized to come through. And we're like, bro, cool, sit here until they come down.
You had to have a list or something.
That's true though.
Yeah. In perfect. For 170 a week, I want that list there, isn't it? I need to be looking down at people if I'm paying 170. Like, you can't just come strolling into my yard.
170.
Yeah,
it was expensive.
No, it probably was around that. The accommodation was nice though, and it was nice and big. So obviously people used to have pre-drinks there. And obviously in the games room, you could rent out the games room for a house party, innit? Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, I didn't even know that. I didn't even get past the entrance. The security wall.
Yeah, I was barely allowed in. Now Purbeck was lit, man. They didn't care who came in.
Yeah, because Purbeck was the ghetto there.
Well, my housemates was.
Nah, that place was lit.
But it was our hood, innit? Like that. Yeah. It was ghetto, but it was my hood, innit?
I was in, you know, Herne House. Where were you the one opposite Lollipop?
Man, what?
So
Herne House.
I've heard of it, but I don't think. I don't know anyone that stayed there. You know the car park
Where's next to Lollipop, Yeah. So if you look forward, there's an accommodation there, isn't it?
Nah, you can't be calling Herbert the ghetto when you lived in Herne House.
Your one was ghetto.
Nah. No, it wasn't. They looked like on council flats. No one was there when you went inside. It just looked rough. Nah, they were not. Nah. They were not.
Hey, did you ever take a babes back there?
I can't. The connection's breaking up still.
Bro.
I had to.
They probably got there. Was like, where the fuck?
Do you know what? I wasn't really that prolific in Herne House, to be honest. I think I was still finding my feet.
I can imagine.
I had.
No one. You mentioned the name Herne House, and they said, you know what?
Yeah, they're probably like, do I need to stand up to get home?
I've got
9 a.m. tomorrow. You know what they want to do. But yeah, if we talk about Cranbourne, though, that was different.
That's it, Cranbourne.
Nah. No, Cranbourne weren't even the worst. What was the one Lamb above the co-op? I can't remember what that was called. It was next to the police station. But above
That place was...
No, there was another one. Yeah, that's it, Chesil House. It was next to the police station and on top of the co-op.
I went there once.
Nah. Only one person that lived there thought, nah, I'm never coming to this place.
Cranbourne, Dorchester, and Purbeck.
Now, you know what was actually nice? You know that AUB?
The one near to the hotels?
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Or the other one, Madeira?
Yeah, wait.
Like Madeira,
Past the police station.
Yeah, the police station one, yeah.
Yeah, they look nice, isn't it?
The interior is good.
Yeah, that was nice. Madeira House was nice. Away days there once.
It gets like that sometimes, man. Yeah. Sometimes you've got to go on the art side of life.
Yeah, man. AUB, them nice halls, away days. Pre-season. Yeah. The main season's got to be done in the main
Cranbourne, that's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
Hey, Cranbourne never really conquered once.
I think Cranbourne were the most adventurous. Like they had a mix of obviously the drum and bass lot, the house lot, techno, and obviously you had the Cameo basement lot, Lost Mondays lot. You had everyone there.
Oh, this is just saying I was perfect for IU.
Yeah, perfect for IU.
Everyone else bait was in perfect.
Mm, I hear that still. Yeah, this is the thing. What I found really weird, yeah, obviously, Luca, if I have met you, I've never remembered it. But I didn't really meet Henry until after Freshers, like, yeah, properly. Like, obviously, I've seen him in Bournemouth now. So, what the hell? What are you doing here? And obviously, he's saying, oh, I'm in first year now. So then, obviously,
yeah,
I've got the picture of the first time we met in Cameo together, Henry. I saw it the other day. It's not the one you're thinking of, though.
Hey, if we were still on Zoom right now, that would be so funny, man.
It's not the one you're thinking of, though. It's a different one.
You know what it is? But the one I'm thinking of, yeah, that is an advertisement for saying, like, say no to racism, innit? We're better together.
No.
What is this picture?
I tell you, if we're on Zoom right now, be cutting.
If I can explain it without incriminating myself, I had an incident. I was extremely offside. Yeah. Henry caught me offside and he had to document the evidence, basically. I don't know if you man have seen that meme yet. I think it's an Arab guy. And he's sitting there, he's going, "We have seen the evidence. You cannot escape anymore. You're finished."
That picture is funny, fam. That is hilarious.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Honestly. That's one of the greatest pictures of all time. Advertisement for biracial babies.
I'm not even alive. If the picture what I'm thinking in my head, yeah, that was happening to Bear Man first year. I think of so many men that I've seen on Snap that was caught offside. Just
Luke, you have to understand,
face, didn't it?
That was happening to Bear Man. Just think of white chicks, innit? That's how bad it was.
Bro, it was mad though, like, that was basement.
Wait,
too.
Sorry?
I swear.
Yeah, it was early on
that
as
was
well.
In basement as well.
I didn't that's even a, go to crazy, the toilet to try honestly. And check out my face. It's embarrassing.
Hey, you know you're walking around like that,
exactly, bro. I was waiting for hours. Yeah. I didn't even care. Man was wearing it like a trophy or something. in them days, like, first year to, like, a little bit of second year, you just don't really care. You're wild, innit? You don't really want a pattern. You just want to move around.
But final year, to be honest, was probably me. But I'd say someone within our house is probably more prolific than me, to be honest.
Does it happen to be someone on this podcast?
No, it won't be. I'm not claiming that one. Nah, whoever's got that title is more prolific
until March.
But if he had longer than March, mate, that season would have never ended.
That's a pregnancy. I think that's a pregnancy. A May time pregnancy. If the season hadn't ended, it's probably for his best interests that stopped in March.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It gets like that sometimes. So obviously, I think Bournemouth was just quite a wild place in general. Obviously, I said to Henry, it reminds you of DMU by the Sea, innit? So.
Like, DMU is one nasty thing. That's where you have people shitting outside each other's
company. Yeah, I was literally about to say that, innit? I remember first year there was a video of some like girl shitting out some side of man's door. I was like,
did you mention the video of them people beating in the graveyard? Time ago, like 4 years ago. DMU, obviously.
What was that, DMU?
Random place in Leicester. People just beating their man up. Disgusting.
No.
Yeah, that's mad. That's a bit, that's all mad. Bournemouth is not that bad, surely.
I think anywhere as bad as DMU, man.
I don't know, you know. I know
Coventry.
I know someone who, I know two people who were beaten. So, you know, as you go into Cameo, yeah, you go past the cloakroom and then you've got that long corridor just after you turn right to that, place. Yes, so there was a chair there. I've just come out to try and link my boy in it. And then all of a sudden, I just see bare movement in the darkness. And then there are these two people going out. I'm just thinking, How you've not been caught by bouncers yet, I don't know, but
that's mad.
Yeah.
It's the vinyl, it's the vinyl people, them, innit?
Them and what? It's the sports them. Teams, innit?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And the sports teams and vinyl every week. Oh, man. Women's football team, some girl I had on Snap here. Imagine, I've just gone to the toilet, clicked on my Snap, and I've just seen the same woman I saw 2 minutes ago. She just got her breast out on Snap for no reason. And then people were, maybe not be too explicit in it, but they were indulging. Let's just say that. They were indulging.
Oh.
Now, you know what?
That's dead.
You know what, to be honest, the sports teams probably living your best life, to be honest. Certain teams.
Definitely. Nah. They were bare men, though. I know people that beat in Lost, in Cameo, in the toilets, obviously. Yeah.
In Lost. I've seen the toilet. I've seen the one in the toilet. Yeah, I've seen the one in the toilets.
Even Fire Station.
Yeah, I've seen that one still.
In the toilets, in women's toilets, actually.
We're in Fire Station.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mad. That's all mad.
It was my.
That's your people in the journey.
We were mad.
Stories from you lot. From the man there. Yeah, you lot are mad.
Okay.
Us man, yeah, we were cool with it, but yeah, you man,
sure about that?
We were mad.
Yeah. Are you sure about that?
Well, fucking. Huh?
I was going to say, I think the reason why
your year was mad is because obviously everyone in my year and the year below, they were mostly from the same areas, so they gelled quite well, especially ACS as well. I remember ACS in the second year was lit. Yeah,
our first year ACS looked calm.
What fucking I say we wrap up there in it, but safe journey for coming on. Got to come on again sometime. Obviously. Anyone that's trying to come on as a guest, shout me or Luke or the podcast page.
Yeah.
Always having trying to have chats with new people. So, yeah, shout us. But, yeah, that's been the On Record podcast. Love.